Well, now, I want us to look this morning here at, very briefly, we don't have a lot of time, but I want us to look, nevertheless, at a tremendous subject from the New Testament, the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we're continuing on. We've had some very interesting things happen as we've been looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just a few weeks ago, water was heard pouring from the ceiling down. It was quite a remarkable thing. I stopped preaching, I looked around, I couldn't see anything. We recognized that this was God showing his favor on what was being looked at, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if a people are going to be biblical and enjoy the benefits of their fellowship with God, they've got to really yield to what the scriptures are saying. Now, I want to open something up here as we go to Acts 2:4. Acts 2:4, it says this, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, they did this as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I've heard people talk about this, and they say, well, that was for then, it's not for now. Well, it doesn't say that in the Bible. It doesn't say it was for then and not anymore. It doesn't say that anywhere in the scriptures at all. In fact, it says the opposite repeatedly. Jesus himself, now think of this. What is it to follow Jesus? If I am a follower of Jesus Christ, if I really follow Jesus Christ, answer me this, please. Would his words mean something to me? If I'm claiming to follow Jesus, do you think his words would mean something to me? Of course they would. If I follow Jesus Christ, his words mean something to me. His words must carry weight. I mean, you know, people follow all sorts of things, don't they? They follow, I mean, if you can imagine, people follow politicians. If they follow the politician, they know what the politician is saying. They know what they stand for. They know what type of words they're going to speak. How do they know? Well, they follow them. That's what it means to follow. It's pretty basic stuff, isn't it? Well, to follow Jesus Christ means that we must understand what Jesus Christ has said. We're under an entire delusion if we think that we're following Jesus and we don't know what he said. How can you follow someone and you don't know what they say? It's just nonsense. To follow Jesus means that we have to understand what he says, and not just understand, but agree with it and commit to it. Am I right so far, folks?
Yes.
Is there anything complicated in what I've said so far? It's all straightforward, isn't it? Well then, let's agree that we must follow Jesus, and to follow Jesus, we must understand what he's saying. If we don't understand what he's saying, we can't follow him. For me to follow instructions, if I ask someone for instructions on how will I get here, from here, please, to the Wynn Stanley College, for example, I'd have to follow. If they said, you go outside of the building, you turn left, you follow the road straight, and it'll be on your right-hand side. Well, if I went out of here and I turned to the right and then went to the left over there, I couldn't complain and say, well, I'm in the wrong place. Your instructions were faulty. It wasn't their instructions. It was my listening that was faulty. Am I right?
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Good. And so as we apply ourselves to Jesus' words, Jesus says these signs will follow them that believe. Mark 16, speaking in tongues is one of those things that Jesus talks about. These are the words of Jesus. In Acts 2:4, we've read these words. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. In Acts 10:44 and 46, let's read Acts 10. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. These are the Jews. The Jews were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So the Jews, you see, the early church was Jewish, and the Jews were surprised that these Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were surprised. And it's clear why they knew that the Holy Spirit had fallen on the Gentiles. Because they spoke with tongues. It says, for they heard them speak with tongues. That's how they knew that the Holy Spirit had fallen on them. Now, I've mentioned that, that we hear the sound of water pouring out. It's very interesting. To him who has ears to hear, let him hear. The water pouring out was a very interesting thing, because subsequent to that, I've had a couple of changes take place in my thinking regarding the work of the Holy Spirit. Almost as if it took that dramatic thing happening for me to change. God works in very powerful and mysterious ways. But one of the changes that I've had is regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because I used to think, because there's a scripture that says, do all speak in tongues, I used to think that, well, it's not necessary for people to speak in tongues. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's not necessary to speak in tongues. Because it was there in the scripture, we could see in 1 Corinthians 12:30, it asks the question, do all speak in tongues? But what I've realized on studying this scripture recently, subsequent to the hearing of the water being poured out, is that in that list, the do all speak in tongues is referring to ministerial gifts. Come with me to this portion of scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:27 to 30. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments. 1 Corinthians 12:27 to 30. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? It's talking about the ministry offices, the offices of Christian ministry. It's not talking about individuals. It's talking about the office of someone who might be speaking in tongues. Very clear in the list, as I've read it over the last period, that that's what that's pertaining to. And so, what does that mean? Well, what it means is this, tongues is for everyone. If you're born again, a believer in Jesus Christ, when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you should expect to speak in tongues. Now, a lot of people say, well, what's the point? I mean, really, what's the point? They talk a little bit of gibberish and don't quite know what they're saying. Well, it's not gibberish at all. It's a heavenly language. Far from gibberish. We haven't got time to give 10 reasons why we should speak in tongues, but I was very happy with Kenneth Hagin's teaching on this. And as I was studying this, his teaching and other people's teachings came to my mind. Perhaps we'll get through a couple of the reasons why we should speak in tongues this morning. Would you like me to go there? Shall we look at why we should speak in tongues this morning?
Yes.
It's a tremendous opportunity for us. We've talked earlier this morning about praying constantly, not ceasing in our prayer. Well, you know, we can pray in tongues. We can pray in tongues throughout the day. And people say, well, you know, I just don't see it. Well, hold on a sec. Let me say this. If we are following Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, as I've cited in Mark 16, says these signs will follow them that believe, and tongues is one of those. And throughout the New Testament, we have teachings on tongues, and tongues is consistent with the early church. And we have all of this on about tongues. How is it then that people in the Christian church hear the instructions about tongues, go out of the building and turn this way instead of this? I mean, it doesn't make sense. When if we are wanting to follow Jesus and saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to following Jesus, surely what Jesus says in his word is that which we should adhere to. Tongues is part of that. My friends, let's look at some reasons why we should speak in tongues. The Word of God teaches, as we've looked at already, in Acts 2:4, that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke with other tongues. In Acts 10, we've seen the brethren, the Jewish believers, who had come with Peter to Cornelius' household, how astonished they were to see that the Gentiles had the baptism of the Holy Spirit also. These Jews knew that they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they heard them speak in tongues. Acts 10:46. So speaking in tongues was a supernatural sign and evidence that convinced those Jews that these Gentiles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking tongues. Reason number one. Reason number two, Paul writes to the church in Corinth and encouraged the Corinthian Christians there to continue in the practice of speaking with other tongues in their worship to God. He also encourages them to speak in tongues in their individual prayer lives as a means of spiritual building up. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says this, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." Edifies himself, builds himself up. That's what that means. We build ourselves up when we do this. I think that many people don't speak in tongues. They're switched off to things like that because they lose control then. They think that they're out of control now. Well, you're not out of control. It's you who are speaking in the tongues by the Holy Spirit's unction, but you still have to yield that mouth and speak. And you see, this is biblical Christianity. But I think so often people want to be in control. People want to have control. Yes, I'll have God on my terms. But speaking in tongues is God on his terms. terms. But we build ourselves up when we speak in tongues. That's the second reason. Jude 20 also links praying in tongues with building yourself up spiritually. It says this, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." You see, tongues isn't mentioned in one verse of the scriptures. Tongues is over and over again in the different books of the New Testament. So not only is this a direction from Jesus Christ himself, that who we are followers of, he who we are followers of, it's in all the many, well, not all necessarily, but most of the books of the New Testament. This encouragement to speak in tongues. You know, Howard Carter was one of the Pentecostal leaders and renowned teachers. He said that speaking in tongues assists us in the worship of God. It's a flowing stream that should never dry up, and one that will enrich us. And the Apostle Paul says the speaking with tongues will edify and build us up spiritually. It says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him." 1 Corinthians 14:2. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 14:14, he says this, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So I don't understand what I'm praying, but my spirit is praying on the inside. Well, what does that speak of? That speaks of a faith, a dependency on God. I mean, let me be honest with you here, very honest. When I first heard people speaking in tongues, I thought, this is madness. And for some reason, I thought of my mother and my father. My mother and my father, I'm very blessed with my parents. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, although my father has always read the Bible every day and always prayed every day. Every day, without fail, no matter what. He has read the Bible and prayed. And he made a commitment at a service many years ago. But they've always given me love and common sense. Do you follow? Do you know what I mean? And so when I heard all these people praying in tongues, I thought of my parents. I thought, what would my parents think of this? They'd think this was wacky. I always use my parents as a reference point. But my parents weren't born again at that point. So they wouldn't understand the things of the Spirit, would they? Couldn't expect them to. So I was using the wrong reference point. But that was my initial reaction to tongues. But what the Bible is saying to us is, in 1 Corinthians 14:14, for example, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. You see, you have a spirit on the inside. You are a spirit. You live in a physical body and you have a soul. And the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. But the spirit on the inside of us prays when we pray in tongues. Our minds don't understand that. But I can tell you that if you pray in tongues, what happens is, after a while of praying in tongues, we look back with the benefit of hindsight and we realize, yes, I'm growing spiritually. You know, I used to be involved in a church called Holy Trinity Brompton. Hands up if you've heard of Holy Trinity Brompton. People. Holy Trinity Brompton was the Anglican church just down the road from Harrods. in London, South Kensington. And the vicar there was a man called Sandy Miller, now Bishop Miller. And I went to see him one time with a lot of issues. And I thought, he'll give me some good counsel. Well, he was a clever man. Eton, Cambridge, clever man. I thought, he'll have some wisdom for me. So we had this meeting, I laid out all the problems about before him. And he said, in that nice Kensington twang, "Do you pray in tongues?" I thought, what an odd question. I've laid out all of this before you, and now you're asking me if I pray in tongues. I said, well, yes. Not often. He said, you need to pray in tongues more. What a ridiculous piece of advice. What a load of nonsense. Need to pray in tongues more? I've just laid out all of this before you, all of these specific questions. I thought you were a bright spark. You need to pray in tongues more? Well, what's wrong with you, man? I thought, well, he must, you know, I don't know. And I went away and I was very frustrated with him. He went right down in my opinion. It was only after about 5 years that I realized he was right. He was absolutely right. That's what I should have done. Because if I'd have done that, all of those problems in my life would have shrunk lower. And God would have been much bigger. And he had the insight to see that that's what I needed. I didn't need to get bogged down in all the details of all the chaos and all the things that were going on. We could have spent hours talking about it, hours and hours, and trying to fudge out some kind of a plan. But that wouldn't have been what was needed. No, that would have been giving too much to the problems and the difficulties. What I needed to do was get in touch with God and abandon my life to him. And a great way of doing that is by praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying using my spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning, folks? I'm saying that when I go home today in the car, maybe I'm going to be speaking in tongues. Right after the service, maybe I'll be speaking in tongues. All the time I'm intending to speak in tongues. Why? Because I know that I'm best fitted when I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. When I'm yielding to God, my life. Best for me to hand the charge of my life over to him. What's that song? Take the wheel, Jesus. Well, there's a way of doing it. Take the wheel, Lord Jesus. Better him drive the vehicle of my life than me. Amen.
Amen.
Reason number three, the third reason people should speak with other tongues is that tongues keeps us continually aware of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. Not only speaking with tongues is the initial sign or evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling, I mean, it's the only one that we can say this is a sign. Let me put it like that. But continuing to pray and to worship God in tongues helps us to be conscious of his presence. And if you're conscious of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit every day, that affects the way that we live. It just totally affects the way we live. Let me tell you a little as I close here. I'm going to close with this. But I heard this testimony as illustration of an evangelist. This evangelist was visiting a pastor's home, and he walked into the room unexpectedly, and he heard the pastor's 12-year-old daughter have the biggest tantrum, if you can imagine it. She lost her temper and was screaming at her mother. Well, the evangelist was shocked. And then she looked up and she saw, this little girl saw the evangelist. Well, you can picture, can't you? She was ashamed. And so she put her head in her hands and she began to cry. She said, "I'm so sorry. You saw me act that way and heard what I said." And the evangelist said to her, "Well, there's one who's greater than I, and he heard you and saw the way that you acted. Are you a Christian?" She said she was. With tears running down her cheeks. She said, "Yes, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Well, the Holy Spirit in you, he knows what you've said and how you've acted. He said, so just repent now and the Lord will forgive you." Then they prayed together and she repented. Then after a little while, she started to speak in tongues, a worship. And the evangelist said to her, "This is one secret that will help you curb your temper. But it'll help anyone curb anything in their lives, whether it's temper or any other issue that you might have. If you will pray and worship God every day in tongues, it'll help you to be conscious of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So if you'll remember that the Holy Spirit is inside you, you won't want to act that way. You'll be ashamed." She was ashamed because the evangelist saw her. The more conscious we are that the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of us, the less we want to sin. We don't want to sin if the Holy... When we're conscious of the Holy Spirit residing inside, people don't want to sin. They want victory over sin. And God wants us to have victory over sin. And praying in tongues makes us aware of the Holy Spirit inside. And that gives us victory over sin. Well, you know, it was a couple of years later that evangelist was visiting the same church. And he saw that little girl. And she ran up to him and she said, "You know," she said, "I pray in tongues every day." She said, "I pray in tongues every day." She said, "And I've not lost my temper since." Praise God. Amen. She had the victory. How? Through praying in tongues. Praying in tongues gave her the victory. It builds her up on the inside, makes her aware of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Praise God for the gift of praying in tongues. Now, if you're a believer this morning and you'd like to pray in tongues, you would like the gift of praying in tongues, then as we close this morning, I'm going to pray a general prayer that you receive that gift. We've only gone through 3 reasons so far. I've got about 12 reasons, but we haven't got time to go through them today.